I'm going to share and try to unload something the Lord's put on my spirit this morning. Try to do it in a positive way. I've been speaking on the Tabernacle of Moses, those of you who have not been here, for several weeks. And the Tabernacle of Moses was a portable structure Israelites used in the wilderness, and they traveled. And we've spoken several messages of it. It's a type of Jesus Christ, and we see Christ in it. Their camps were surrounding the tabernacle, and so that Jesus is always the center of our life. We spoke about the gate. When you enter into the gate, it's the widest part. Amen. There's no one that's too far gone entering into the arms of Jesus Christ. Brazen altar spoke of the blood. We spoke about, just as we talked about with healing this morning, He gave us forgiveness on the cross, but He's also a benefits package. By His stripes we are healed. And we were talking some in Bob's class this morning about the beating Jesus took. And so that was done. We don't have to live in shame, sickness, and disease, okay? Now, we also spoke about how the Lord lit the fire on the altar. So the Lord lights the fire. We have responsibility as believers to keep it going and moving in our life. We also spoke some about the labor. Now, the water, the blood cleanses us, but the water in our life, the washing of the water of the Word of God, it keeps us clean, and it's a daily thing, a daily process. And I spoke some on coverings last week, which was a unique message. But I spoke some on that last week, and how the different layers of authority and covering that the Lord's given us in the Scripture. But I want to speak this morning about the going through the door into the golden candlestick. And when you go through the door, the tabernacle, if you remember the picture I put a few weeks ago, there's an outer court with the different laver in the altar. But as you go in through the door, the door's a bit narrower. And inside the holy place is the candlestick. There's also the table of showbread and the golden altar of incense. And so, as we're going to see moving forward, that this speaks a lot about ministry. And you know, I heard it said before, Jesus said, "Come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." So all of us immediately, or all of us are in full-time ministry. Just like you were sharing this morning, Brad, if we're following Jesus, all of us are commissioned to be fishers of men, okay? Everywhere we go, everywhere we do, and everything that we are. And so the holy place, the different aspects speak of ministry. I'm going to speak a little bit about that, and then I want to get into something specific this morning. And our conversation this morning, Bob kind of reminded me of that. And I want to unload a few things on you before we go. So I'm not going to ask you to turn, but the main passage I'm looking at is in Exodus 25, verse 31 through 40. You can write that down. I'm not going to read all of it because it might just be kind of dull and boring as I go through. But there are a couple passages I'm going to highlight. And that's Exodus 25, verse 31 through 40. Just a few things about it. And they have the picture. This is the golden candlestick. And it's missing something I'm going to talk about on it, but that's okay. The golden candlestick was the light that was in the holy place. And so the outer court was filled with the light of the man. Holy place was filled with the candlestick. And there's something neat about this. It speaks of several things in the Scriptures, and I'm going to go through this quickly. My heart is that it speaks of ministry, and then I want to speak to something about the gold in it. It was made of pure gold. Okay? One thing throughout Scripture, and this is kind of my point as I go through, if you read in Scripture, "I count you to buy for me gold refined in the fire, that your faith being more precious than gold." And a lot of times when you hear gold in the Scripture, it speaks of the refinement of the Lord and doing things in our life. I was speaking with a friend this week, and I had something going on that was, I'd say, was frustrating to me. Just annoyance. My wife knows about it, and that's it. Later part of this week, and I was talking with a friend, and He was giving me some perspective. And there's a proverb. It's one of these things, you know, you've read a million times. It says, "In all labor," Proverbs 14:23, "In all labor there's profit." And that speaks of financial things, but it also, to me, "In all labor there's profit." We're called to live a life with God and a journey. Okay? It's not just about in one prayer. I said a prayer, bless God, that's it. But then He calls us into a life. And everything that we do, everything we find ourselves looking at and moving into, if we view it from a divine perspective, we can see that the Lord's doing a formation within our hearts, because He's worried about who we are in Him. And so I believe all of us are called from divine appointment to divine appointment to divine appointment to divine appointment. And if we can see the Lord in the mundane, that, you know, hey, something happens and it's really frustrating, really annoying, and instead of saying, you know, I'm throwing in the towel on this, forget it, I say, Lord, you must be doing something in this. What are you doing in this? And I say, maybe the Lord's going to do a work in my heart because it's something I need for the next divine appointment that He has for me. Okay? I'm going to speak about that more in a minute. But the Lord's always working and doing something. You know, I'm grateful that I'm not who I am, the same person I was 10 years ago, right? The Lord has done a lot in my life, and He should have with you as well. I'm glad I'm not the same person I was a year ago. Okay? There's constant things we're coming up on. Brad, you went to the barbershop. You're glad you're not the same person you were 2 years ago or a year ago. Because the Lord sees and He knows, okay, this time next year I'm going to do this work in Brad. I'm going to do something in him. And I'm putting him in the barbershop because there's a work that I have for him. Okay? So keep that in mind as we go. Let me just share a couple of cool things about the golden candlestick that I like. There's knobs, flowers, and buds on it. And you can't see it in the picture, but there's groups of 27 of those. Let me say this first of all. The golden candlestick in the middle, there's six branches showing out. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Six in the scriptures always speaks of man. Seven is completion. We're complete because we're in Him. Okay? There's a unity that we have. But there's three sets of knobs, buds, and flowers on there, which equals 27. How many books are in the Bible? 66. There's 39 books in the Old Testament. There's 27 in the New Testament. There's 27 sets of buds and knobs on the left-hand side, and there's groups of four, which equals 39 in the middle, which gives us Old Testament. And if you look at this, a lot of scholars believe that when they were canonizing the Scripture, they took this. Remember the psalm that says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path? This was a light stick. The book of Isaiah is a very similar thing. The first 39 chapters speak of more, like you see in the Old Testament, 40 through 66 or more New Covenant. And actually the parallels between Isaiah 40 and Matthew 3 are very astonishing. And so you can see this speaks of the Word of God, okay? There's also, and I'm breezing through this, there's also three sets on each side, so it's nine on each side of the sets of buds, knobs, and flowers. There's nine gifts of the Spirit, and there's nine fruits of the Spirit, right? The nature and the ministry of Christ. Jesus is the light of the world, and He also says, you are the light of the world, right? And as He lives within us, we are the lights of the world, okay? And so I breezed through that because I went again to what I say to say this. This speaks, the golden candlestick, it would be good like in a classroom setting, but it speaks of the Word of God and also speaks of ministry, okay? The gifts of the Spirit, the fruit, the nature of the Spirit, the ministry of the Word of God and the light of God, okay? All right? So I want to look at a few things this morning, and I want to focus in on a couple of passages. In Exodus chapter 25, verse 31, this is what I want to hone in on. If you're in Exodus 25, you can read there with me. It says, you shall also make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand shall be of hammered work. Its shaft, its branches, its bowls, and its ornamental knobs, which I spoke about in flowers, shall be of one piece. It was a hammered work. Okay? In Exodus 37, 17, it reiterates that. And it says, the lampstand shall be of pure gold, of hammered work. Says basically the same verse. In Numbers chapter 8, verse 4, again, it says it should be of hammered gold. If you look at how gold is formed from the earth, before gold can be used and given out, it goes through a really painful, hard process. And I was reading, and actually, to get the gold, it was a very dangerous profession back in the day. Obviously, they fixed it up today. But they heated it up to about 1,000 degrees. There's a lot of molding and forming that goes through it. And if you read throughout Scripture, I read a secular article about it. And the secular article referred to the Scriptures. Now, the Scripture always said we're refined in fire. There's a refinement that gold goes through. This is made of pure gold. Okay? It speaks of the lamp and the ministry of the Lord. Let me say this. One thing in life that I've appreciate with all these testimonies that we hear. And I was speaking with Phil. If you met Phil last week, Jared's friend Phil was here. And something I appreciated, he came to me and said, I appreciate your message because it doesn't just apply to church, it applies to me and my job. And I said, that's what I want to hear. Oftentimes we separate the quote-unquote sacred from the secular. And when I'm getting back to this point of this, I have to realize that everything that I do, the Lord's doing a formation and a work within me. Because I'm on faith to faith, strength to strength, glory to glory. And I say appointment to appointment. It's important that I don't waste these opportunities of seeming either nothingness or seeming frustration or seeming annoyance. By realizing all of that, the Lord's forming something and doing something because He sees something in the future that I might not be able to see. And I don't want to forfeit what's here because I abdicate my responsibility to see what God's doing right now. Okay? I was listening. There was a Lance Wallnau. He was teaching a Bible class at, I think it was Chris Bible College in London. Yep. And he was sharing. Did you see that?
I did.
It was really, really good. I want to listen to it again. And it was listened to while I was at work. It was awesome. But one thing he said in there that struck with me, and I believe it's so vital and true, he said that, and I don't remember the exactness of it, but there's a ministry school, and he said one thing that they do in the ministry school is they make the people work. Because if you're going to be in any type of ministry, and all of us, like I said, we're followers of Jesus, we're in ministry, how I am in work, if the Lord doesn't work and do those things in me, I know some of us are retired, so in your day-to-day life, how I handle my affairs and my business there will come out eventually when I'm ministering to others. And I remember when I was in Bible school, we had works. We had workstations. And my first workstation is I washed dishes 40 hours a week. And they would tell me, it's going to build character. Build character. But what you would see throughout that process, and this is not to knock anyone, it just shows how the Lord does a work, is you could be in chapel and see someone prophesying the paint off the walls, dancing before the Lord, and then you see them at work, and it's like, well, yeah, I'm just not feeling it today, I'm not going to do it. What is that? I can be one thing when I'm doing ministry, but if the Lord does not allow me to do a formation and a work, like the golden hammering of the gold in me, eventually that attitude is going to come out. Whether you're up in a pulpit, in a prayer line, whether you're at the barber shop, there's things that are going to happen. I can't be judged and dictated to by how I feel. I have to allow that even in moments where I'm washing dishes. Just like Brother Lawrence, Kevin mentioned that book in one of our classes. I would love to be at his level. He would wash dishes in the monastery and just constantly be in communion with God, in the presence of God. He didn't say this is just something secular. This is a ministry. Martin Luther in the Great Reformation, one of the things he did, because there was such a distinction between pulpit and pew, that what he did says, everything that we do, you do is unto the Lord, not unto man. Everything I do is a divine commission and destiny that God has for me. Okay? So we don't separate the sacred from the secular. I can't be one way here and a different way at work. Okay? I can't do it. I had a job performance this week at work. And I went, well, thank you, Jesus. And got a pay raise, thank you, Jesus. I always take that. So one of the things that spoke to me more than anything, and I'll say just use me as an example because I'm not perfect in this, as you'll see later, but one of my team leads, we had an interesting project when I first came in, and I didn't know she saw me this way, but I like to encourage people. Just what I like to do, the best I can. And she said, one thing, Clay, you always did was, in the hard times we had there, you encouraged us. And I said, amen. Because that means, Lord, you've developed me to such a degree in this one area, because there are other areas I'm still growing in, where I'm the same way with the folks I work with. That should be the case for all of us. It can't be, hey, you encouraged me at church, but at work, you're a jerk. You know? You put me... You see, there, I can't separate this stuff. Can't do it. Because we have to look at, in everything that we do, the Lord's doing a process. He's making us lights. He's using us in ministry. But in the seeming nothingness and the seeming annoyances, there's a work that the Lord's doing that we have to see. Okay? So I want to look at a few things. First of all, Jesus in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 says, though he was a son, speaking of Jesus, yet he learned obedience by the things he suffered. And I don't think he was talking about just the cross where he suffered. You know, I think Jesus went through a lot of things to say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done before he went to the cross. We were chatting about that this morning. Hey, that's not something I would want to do. And in Hebrews 4:15 it says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Okay. Let me speak to a couple things. I want to speak because the Lord's building character, and we've seen a lot of even moves of God and moves of the Spirit that have not lasted because character in the individuals that God's been using has wilted under pressure and things like that. And I believe it's the heart of the Lord because I do believe, and I'm speaking to my friend this week about this as well. I believe we'll see the greatest move of God this earth has ever seen in David. I really do, and I hate just to speak about what's in the future because God prepares us for it now. And it's important as people of God that we have a proper perspective, but that we have a character to match. Jesus was used mightily in ministry, right? Gifts of the Spirit, the fullness of the Spirit. But he also had the nature of the Spirit within him as well. Gifts and the fruit, I have to have that balanced in my life. And some people only focus on the fruit, and they don't want anything to do with the gifts. Some people say, hey, I just want the gifts. We don't really care about the fruit. I want both operating. And so I can minister powerfully, but I can also have a nature formed within me, a strength within our hearts and within our lives. And so I want to look at something. I want you to turn to this one with me, because I'm going to look at it here, and I'm going to look at it at the end. It's Psalms chapter 105. Verse 17 through 20. Psalms 105, verse 17 through 20. Character in our life should always match the anointing and the calling and the favor of our life. Okay? The Lord cares about that. I'm actually going to start with verse 17. It says, he sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. It's one of my favorite verses in the scripture. It says, until the time his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. So he had a word from the Lord. If you remember the story of Joseph, okay, he was called to the throne. He was second in command in Egypt, but before he got to that place, he was on the lowest of the low. Okay? He was in jail. He was a slave. He was falsely accused of something. I hate when I'm falsely accused of stuff. He responded well. One thing that Joseph did, if you read throughout the story, he never laid the blame on anyone else because you cannot be a victim and a victor at the same time. Okay? Let me say that again. You cannot be a victim and a victor at the same time. Joseph constantly, if you read throughout in all the years, he said, the Lord's called me to this, the Lord's called me to that. But he didn't overlook and say, Lord, you called me there, but I find myself here. Why? Lord, you must be doing something here, so when I get there, I'll have the strength to stay and be all that you called me to be in that place. Okay? And I'm not just talking about one event 20 years from now. I'm talking about maybe something next week. And I'm dealing with something right now. And I have no idea who the Lord's going to put in front of me next week or what situation confronts me next week. But He's doing something in me today. One thing we find in Scripture is there's often resistance that we can come up against. Okay? And if you look at the world, why is there resistance? Love has a choice, does it not? It's like, Lord, why is there a devil in the earth? He wouldn't be much of a God if he says, you love me or there's nothing else. Love always gives a choice, right? And so if I have some resistance, I'm building up my muscles. I'm building up my strength. Let me stop here and say this. There is a truth where it says, you know, and this is right, at salvation I've received all these things from the Lord. That's right and good. I spoke about it a few weeks ago. It's important that we're we're moving and walking in what the Lord says we are rather than who we think we are or someone else says that we are. But we also have to understand that what's true in the heavens has to be walked out and lived on the earth. So I like, look at, is anyone a basketball fan? You like LeBron James? Yes, any basketball fans? You're shaking your head. So 18 years old, LeBron James went to the NBA. He was did really well. He had a, you know, really tall, could do everything. And we can look at LeBron James and say, hey, you have all the tools in the world, man. You're going to knock it out. Don't worry about anything. But LeBron James might be the greatest player of all time because he continued to, when you lift weights, you have resistance. When you work hard, you have resistance. And he said he has it all. He has the ability, but the resistance he has pushes him forward into things that to be his full potential, right? And so I say all of us in the spirit, we're like LeBron James in that way. God's given you all the pieces of the puzzle that you need. But if I'm going to fully activate and realize this, I have to allow resistance in my life. I have to allow things in my life. I have to hit the weight spiritually. I have to work hard in the gym spiritually and do these things. Amen? So it's important to balance that out. Let me say a few things. If you turn with me, I'm going to read the book of 1 John. And you can turn 1 John with me. I'm going to talk about a few things regarding trials and temptations in our life. Okay? In 1 John. Before we get there too, let me say this. Chris Valentin has a lot of good stuff I really gleaned from. And he made a statement that spoke to me. And he said, you know, he was talking about our culture, per se, how we live. And he said, you know, one thing we've allowed as believers, and it's been the case in the past, it's the case today, a lot of times we've allowed culture, kingdom of the world, to influence and dictate who we are. And he was saying, you know, Christianity, I said this before, it's like a wedding and a marriage. I married my wife on a wedding day, right? But that wasn't all of it. We have a marriage and a life to live together, right? I get saved, I say a prayer. It doesn't just stop there. I have a life through thickness and through thin with the Lord. And he was talking, he said, a lot of people ask, you know, can I be a believer and do this? Can I do this? Can I do that? You know, we were chatting some this morning about your situation, brother, and where you were talking about the minister. And we can often sometimes say, you know, there's an aspect of our life where we have to walk out what God says true of us. Amen? And there's something in our life where it's Chris Valentin says you're either Christian or you're a follower of Christ. He said, you know, Christianity is not just a set of beliefs. It's not just a philosophy. It's not just I said a prayer and now I have this, I believe that. So can I walk in a homosexual lifestyle? Andrew and I have a friend we went to Bible school with, and we knew this was an issue with him in Bible school, but he was in YWAM in France doing all these things, and he just married his boyfriend and missed it 2 weeks ago. Okay? I say, well, can you be a Christian and do that? Well, I can believe all the principles of Christianity. I can believe the philosophy of it. But I can't be a follower of Jesus if I'm doing that, because Jesus isn't walking that way. Okay? That's an extreme example. I can do that with stealing. Can I be a Christian and have a problem and do these things? Well, I can believe in Christianity, I can believe in faith, I can believe in these things if it's a philosophy that I have. But if I'm going to have a life and a walk, I can't be a follower of Jesus and have that as a pattern in my life, because Jesus isn't walking that way. Okay? If you look in the book of 1 John, I love this book and it's important. There's three main principles. He's light, life, and love. But he was speaking to a group of folks, they were Gnostics. And what a Gnostic was, a Gnostic basically believed that Jesus did not actually come in the flesh. And so what you did in the flesh didn't matter. And they had so much knowledge, so much revelation, that they were in a spiritual plane above everyone else. And that what you did in the flesh didn't matter. And if you read 1 John with that understanding, it's like, oh, that makes sense. Basically, they're saying, it doesn't matter how I live, it matters what I believe and what I know. Okay? So let's look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. And it says, this is the message we have heard from the beginning from Him, and we declare it to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. First of all, let me say this. If you're in Him, are we in Him? There's no darkness in us because He is the light. And there's a passage that says in Matthew, if the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Let me say this. If we ever lose our testimony and our witness, and I'm supposed to be the light, and the light that's in me is darkness, what hope does the world have? If they look at me, and I'm supposed to be the light, and I'm doing this over here, and I'm not following Jesus, there has to be a distinction. People have to look and see a Brad and say, man, there's something about you. I need you to pray for me. What is that? There has to be a distinction. So we're in Him. He is the light. We're in the light, okay? So it says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. There's conflicting. Again, he's dealing with the Gnostics there. But we walk in the light. He is in the light. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. So we're walking in light. Like the candlestick, we're cleansed from sin. In verse 8 it says, if we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Again, he's speaking to Gnostics who said, it doesn't matter what I do. Okay? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us from our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Let me say this too. There's no chapter breaks, as many of you know. We did that later. So he goes right into this. My little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. And if, not when you sin, but if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. Before I came to Christ, I needed a Savior, right? Now that I'm with Christ, I have an advocate. Because God set me free from the power of sin. It's not my nature to do it. Okay? Your identity is not what you struggle with. Okay? I'll say that again. He's broken the power of sin off my life. I can't say I do this because I can't help myself. If you're a son and daughter of Jesus, that's not true. In Romans 8, chapter 2, I love this passage as well. Romans 8, 2, it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Okay? The law of sin and death does not have authority over me. I'm not governed by that. I'm governed by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Amen. If I stub my toe, I have a faithful advocate who says, who's washed me and cleansed me in His blood, I'm forgiven. But that's not my nature. That's not who I am. Okay? Amen. Oftentimes what we do, and I use an extreme example with the guy who went to Bible school with homosexuality. Okay? But there's a lot of other things we do. When we say, I'm struggling with this temptation, this is just who I am. That happens today when we take on our identity with what we struggle with. I'm going to look at, let me read one more passage to you, and two more passages. You can just listen to me. 1 John chapter 3, it says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him, are we in him? Yes, in him there is no sin. Okay? Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So what was he destroying there? The works of the devil. The context of that is sin. Jesus has destroyed that in our life. That has no bound, that has no strength in my life. Okay? I want to establish that point because it's important, because we spoke about identity before. My identity is not in how I feel today. It's not what I do. It's who He says. And that sometimes that can take a process of working it out in our hearts and our lives. In the book of James, and this is my last passage, I'm going to finish something with you. It says, my brethren, count it all joy. This is James chapter 1, verse 2. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect worth, that you may work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So we speak of a trial. Do you ever have trials in life? Yes. They're good things because they build up our spiritual muscles. All right? He goes down in verse 12, same chapter. He said, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation." That word is the same word in the Greek. It's trials. It's a trial or a temptation. All right? "For when he has been proved, he will receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he was tempted, 'I am tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor is he tempt anyone else. But each one, when he is tempted, when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed, then desire, when it has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." So when we come upon life, in anything that we do, I'll give you an example for me that's practical. I work remotely. I work from home. I could do this easily. I could say, you know, my boss is in Florida, okay? I'm going to sign into work, come up here and do some work for the day, and then go back home. And honestly, in the long run, they would find out, but they wouldn't know that day. I can say, okay, trial and temptation. I can say, okay, that's a trial. Do you know what trials and temptations? It's like lifting weights. If I'm bedridden for several weeks, I remember when I broke my arm, for example, and I had an arm elbow cast. And when they took that thing off, I couldn't move my arm straight for quite a while. My muscle atrophy was in there for a while. It was a nasty break. If I don't use something, it atrophies. So what happens is the Lord, he sends a trial in our life. So it can be something as severe as what I said before, or it can be something like I'm tempted to go and, you know, blow off work today because my boss will never know if I'm punched in. And I can either make that into a temptation that leads me into sin, or I could say it's a trial where I'm lifting my spiritual muscles and I'm growing and becoming who God wants me to be. And one of the worst things as we do is when we say, this is a temptation that I have, no matter what it is, and say, this is who we have a problem right now in our society where we take temptations and we take things that are contrary to who God says we are, and we form our identity based on that, and we say, this is who I am. Okay? Whether it's a sexual thing, like I just spoke about, or whether it's something else, like I'm going to take off work today and steal company time. It can be little things, it's character issues. And throughout it, God does a strengthening and a building within our hearts and within our lives through it, okay? Amen? And so we can have a trial, and the trial can be used. And I have a trial turn, let's say, as a trial that tests our faith gives us a crown, we can turn into a temptation that falls away. James also says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen?
Amen.
So we have trials, we have things that we have to resist because I need resistance. It can be a nasty attitude that you have, right? I bragged on myself earlier, but I had another thing this week that happened. My wife knows about it, and I'm having to guard my attitude about it, right? And I have to make sure that my heart is pure, and I'm upright before the Lord, and my not even just my actions towards these people, but my thoughts are pure towards these people, that I did something wrong to me, right? I can say, you know what? This person did something wrong. Forget them. I'm just not going to deal with it anymore. Or I can say, maybe the Lord is doing something in my heart. Maybe the Lord is doing something in my life. And he's going to build some spiritual muscles in me. Just like the golden candlestick. He's going to hammer me. He's going to put 1,000-degree dross and cleanse out all those things in me. I was talking to you again this morning. I'm using our conversation. One reason I like church, and I believe in church, is because it's easy to love everyone under a tree somewhere else, and it's just me and God, right? It's easy to love everyone if I'm just with my books and my tapes, and I never have to rub shoulders with you. Why is the body of Christ important? Because James, I love James, I'm just picking on you. If James really rubs, I've seen people leave churches, my old church I was in, because they didn't like somebody. Maybe if the Lord's using him and I don't like you, well, I don't need you, brother. I can just go worship God under a tree. Well, you can. You can just go worship God under a tree. That's fine. But I probably can't live up and be of my full destiny and potential if I don't allow him to grate at me some. Right?
That's right.
It is annoying me. Okay. Well, maybe there's something in me that the Lord's trying to get at. Maybe it's not just him. Maybe, Lord, maybe you're forming and you're hammering me. Maybe I have a nasty attitude that needs to be dealt with, right? Or I can, and often what we do, there's a strong temptation. I have as much as anyone. There's a little resistance, a little pull. I'm done with it. I'm going to go over here where I don't feel that anymore. That's a temptation. And oftentimes we miss God's best for us because we run from what He has for us here. And I can't live up to my full potential over there because I never embraced what He was doing right here.
That's right.
It's a hammering. It's a 1,000-degree thing, and He puts within us. I see you, and you annoy me, and we're in the same church. You don't annoy me. And I'm going to allow, instead of getting nasty with you and running out the back door, I'm going to say, Lord, You're doing something in me that's a good thing.
Amen.
Thank You, Jesus, because You have someone for me to minister to over here, and there's a character issue and a character flaw in me that needs to be corrected. Okay? It's important for us to realize my temptation to lash out at Him is not my identity. My temptation to be mean and quit is not my identity. Remember I said about Joseph, you can't be a victim. Your identity is not as a victim. I loved your testimony, Brad, because you didn't say, you know what, everyone's getting sick. I'm just, Satan's attacking me. He said, no, I'm a victor. I can worship, I can dance, I can pray, I can fast. God's given me authority to come against this thing. I'm a victor. I'm not just going to say, forget this, this isn't working, I'm following Jesus now, so I'm leaving. No, your spiritual muscles, for example, were built from that. Okay, you're like LeBron James, you've got the whole package, but God's walking you through, and He's letting you be the full all-star that He's called you to be. It's important for us to realize that as the body of Christ, okay? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. I'm going to land this plane pretty soon because I know you guys want to eat, and I'm almost done. Let me say this one more time. I'm going to read Psalms 105, verse 16 through 19. Actually, before I do that, I'm going to do this. If you're struggling with something, and if there's a strong temptation in your life, okay, whether it's something I said, it's sexual like I said before, or whether it's something where I'm tempted just to say, forget my job, I'm not going to do it anymore. Do you know what? One, we can go to God, and we also go to others. In Galatians it says, he who is spiritual, and don't bear your burdens, go to him who is spiritual. In James it says that you confess your sins to one another. That doesn't mean I go to the priest to forgive me. That means that there's accountability there. Okay, so if I'm really struggling with something, I'll say, you know, James, you know, you've already walked through this problem. You know, I'm dealing with a lousy attitude. Help me through it, brother. And that's not punishment. That's not saying we're going to punish you. And you have to, you know what, if you're struggling with something, I can promise you someone in the body of Christ will struggle with it as well.
That's right.
And you can walk through it, and someone who's already walked through that thing and has pressed through and found victory in it, maybe God's going to do that in them to help you, and then you have victory, and you can start helping others. There's a verse in 2 Corinthians 1 that speaks about that. The Lord who's comforted us, that we can comfort those with the same comfort we've received from Christ.
Amen.
And so, I'm not going to do any, what I felt to do is, if you're struggling here with something, and we have some folks out, and that's fine, find someone here. You come to me. You're a lady, you've got another lady, find someone who's mature in the faith. Go to God and say, you know, hey, James, I'm really, you know, I have a nasty attitude about this. Can you just pray with me? Have you ever experienced this before? And you walk through it as brothers and sisters. Again, the body of Christ. It's not punishment, okay? It's not, how in the world do you have this problem? I never have. No, you probably have. Pray with me. There's accountability. And you know what? If I'm struggling with something, that's not who you are. You are more than a conqueror through Christ who loved you.
Amen.
And you're an overcomer. I can't be an overcomer if I have nothing to overcome. So I see this thing in front of me. The Lord's called me through it, and I'm going to overcome it. And it's going to build up my muscles in the process. I'm going to end with Psalms 105, 16, 19 one more time. It says, moreover, he called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provision of bread. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who had amazing, this is me, had amazing dream from God. He was a young child or a young man when he had it, so I can't be too hard on him, but obviously there's some character issues. He was pretty arrogant with it, right? Mm-hmm. He goes up and says, hey, I had a dream, you're going to be bowing down before me. right? I'm not going to. So there's obviously some character things. And before he reached the throne, so they, he was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons. Scourging. The trials of your faith. The testing. Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. The purging, the hammering, the trials in our life. What's the purpose? It's day to day to day. In all labor there's profit. As my friend told me this week, and I needed to hear it. In all labor there's profit. From going to the barber shop to having something that's annoying to you to a major struggle. I had another friend in Bible school who came to the wedding, was married, got divorced, and went to live with another man. Okay? Don't allow that to happen and say, well, this is just who I am because that's what he says. No, that's not just who you are. You're a son of God. And when we say, this, my temptation is who I am, it leads me into a lot of different paths that are counter. Remember, I might be a Christian as far as I believe the right things as a philosophical method, but I'm not following Jesus because Jesus isn't going down that direction. Okay? If I'm going to follow Jesus, I have to make sure that I take the... Anyone remember PFR, by the way? The old Christian group? There's a song, "He Brought Me Here," where things are clear and trials turn to gold. When we have trials in our life and it turns to gold in us and we become partakers of the divine nature, as Peter says, and we become lights in the earth. He says, you are the light of the earth. That's true of me. But to be the true candlestick, to have the ministry of the word, the ministry of the spirit, the fruit, the character, the nature, there's a hammering that comes with gold. As he told the church in Laodicea, gold tried in the fire, and that we continue to see everything within our life. If you're going through something now, if it's a temptation that you constantly wrestle and deal with, the temptation is not who you are. It's not a it's a trial, and the Lord's going to bring you through it. Amen?
Amen.
It's not your identity. It's not who God says you are. It's not what you are. Or if it's just an annoyance, I want to appeal to you this way too. And I preach to myself with a lot of things. Listen. Don't run and quit when the Lord's doing something in your life.
Amen.
If something is hard, if you're in a vice and it's twisting you like this, a better approach would be to say this. Get away from everyone. Father, what are you doing in this? I don't like it. It's uncomfortable. But show me what you're doing. He might show you, he might not, but I can promise you, there's a lot of you in here, I'm sure every one of you actually can tell a story where you went through something, and at the time it was the worst stinking thing in the world, and when you get through it, Father, thank you for letting me do that, because you built some muscles in me then. I didn't know that the muscles were there, but they've grown. And I'm able to tackle this challenge that you have, just like Joseph was a slave. He was the best slave you could be, okay? Because he focused on the Lord and saw the right perspective there. He allowed the Lord to hammer him. He was used in a mighty way to those people. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in the hearts and lives of people here. Lord, I just thank you for all the things that were already expressed this morning, Lord. Lord, Mary and Beverly both says they're healed after last week. I didn't say this, but Brad prayed for me in prayer a few weeks ago for my back. I said, Brad, I need you to pray for me. The next day, guess what? I had such tremendous relief. I forgot to say that. Tremendous relief in my back. And, Lord, what you're healing her, Father. Lord, everything that you're doing in each and every one of us, Father. Lord, you are a good God. You're faithful and you're just and you're always on time, Lord. You are a good God. Lord, continue to allow us to see your hand molding and shaping in each and everything that we do because we're a people on divine assignment. Divine destiny, divine appointment. Lord, give us perspective. Lord, give us eyes as eagles to see from the throne, to see from the heavens, Lord. And that we see beyond what the chickens see eating the earth, but follow it. We soar into the heavenlies and we see miles away. We see into the Spirit and we see what you're doing in us and what you're doing in the earth. And Lord, I just thank you. I bless you for who you are. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
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 You guys be blessed. There's plenty of food. I saw Mary go down, so please, or Christina, so go down and get some food. Amen.